Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, Steve's not here, but Larry is. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve, and I've got Dr. Alice Benton sitting to my right.
Hi, folks.
And Chris Williams to my left. Hey, Chris.
How's it going?
Doing good, thank you. It's a good day. It's a Friday already. I want to start the show with a testimony, a little bit of a pitch for support, but I want to talk about this testimony. God is truly amazing. I'm new to New Life Ministries. Just a couple months ago, I felt as if I was dying inside in bondage to my situation. I'd been praying and praying for my husband and our marriage for the last 3 years, and things only continued to grow worse. I made the decision to see a Christian counselor, and from there my whole life changed. One night she sent me an episode of your show via podcast. The following morning after church I listened to it. The show was about a young lady that had such suffering in her voice because she could not forgive herself for her past sins, and your message hit my heart. I felt as she did. I cried out loud to God to forgive myself. I needed to forgive myself for my past sins, and I never could, but that morning I did. I've been listening to your show every day since, and I've read Take Your Life Back. I finally feel some freedom within me because of your show and my wonderful counselor who turned me to New Life. So I've decided to be a member of Club New Life and give so you can continue helping others. I wanted to thank you for all you do. God's working through you to help those like me. Let me say one thing, and I want you guys to respond to her testimony. Folks, supporting New Life is a blessing, an honor. It's a privilege. I pray that you'll see it that way because it's helping others. Because what we do here is something that the Holy Spirit really takes and amplifies and makes it work. So we need your support. Club New Life is a great way to give, automatic giving monthly. So thank you for considering a gift to New Life. Now, how do you react to that testimony?
Well, I want to say I was also a listener for quite some time without being a giver to the show. And it is so expensive for us to be on the air. I learned that giving is good for us spiritually and emotionally. It's good for us. So give somewhere. But if you benefit from New Life, like this testimony, like she benefited from New Life, give. Please give back to us so we can keep doing this for you and for other people.
You know, I just think that where our investments are, our hearts are, right? And so this is about heart work and hard work. And I think it's the most important and crucial work that we'll do is a work on the inside. And a lot of what Jesus was teaching us was telling us, hey, go work on the insides because that's what matters, you know? And I know for me that my life oftentimes had looked like a Pharisee, and still today, sometimes whitewashed tombs. I can dress up the outside well, but it could be emptiness or hurt or trouble on the inside, and that's going to contaminate every part of our life. What she was experiencing is that a resentment and unforgiveness towards herself was contaminating her internal world, and as she was able to experience the forgiveness, and now something new is growing on the inside. Where moth and rust cannot destroy, that is a phenomenal return on investment.
And that happened because she went to a counselor.
Absolutely. Got to work on the inside.
She got to work.
Yeah.
But folks, if you haven't seen a counselor and you're thinking, I'm a little hesitant. Only crazy people go to counselors. We're all crazy.
I'm crazy then. Yeah, put me in the front of that line.
So, take that step. But maybe a good step is to look at calling us to get help to find a counselor. Mm-hmm. Or you can call us to see about one of our workshops. Or you might want to buy one of our resources. We've got wonderful books and CDs, videos. So give us a call. We're going to be back right after this and take your call. Thank you, Don.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. And I just wanted to point out before we go to our call, when you give, because I didn't get to say this at the beginning pitch, we'll give you this book, Living Strong, Finishing Well. It was the final book that Dave Stoop, he finished this book weeks before he had his two strokes. And he had it titled, he wanted to title it, Don't Die Before You're Dead, because he was a man that lived that. He was always studying. He was always doing things. He was always helping people. And so this book will help you live strong. You don't have to be old on the way out to enjoy this book.
Yeah.
This is a book about young people living strong so that when you get to that age, you can finish well.
Yeah. So. You know, there's so much in what we experience, I think, a lot of burnout today.
Hmm.
And it was on a podcast yesterday, and I was saying that it was talking about global trauma. And I said, you know, our collective anxiety has turned into collective exhaustion.
Yeah.
And we've lost our resiliency. So Dave was a man of such what I would call pace because he could just almost look seamlessly through the course of his entire life, at least what I experienced towards the end of his life, and have this steadiness to truly, truly finish well because he did life well. So this is a book you want to get in your hands. It's a timely book, and it's for right now.
Yeah.
So donate to us.
Okay.
And we'll donate back to you.
There you go.
It's a great resource.
God wants us to be fruitful through the very end. How many did he call? Wasn't Moses in his 80s when he called Moses?
Point.
It's never too late to be fruitful for God.
Yep. Okay, let's go talk to Luna. Austin, Texas, listens on the internet. Oops, line 3. Hello, Luna. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all?
Great. How can we help you today?
I have such a short time, but I just have a hard time right now being in group settings. And it was asked to me earlier, how do you do it on a one-to-one? And I do a lot better on a one-to-one basis, but it seems like I'm even struggling even in that scenario now.
Mm. What happens when you're in the presence of other people? What are the thoughts and what are the feelings?
Well, I know that I can be a little oversensitive, and I try so hard to just be, I don't know how to say, just be there without, I just think too much about what others think, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's this thing called HSP, which is a highly sensitive person. And highly sensitive people have superpower, and their superpower is empathy. But what happens is we absorb the world around us, and it almost is as we don't have a lot of internal boundaries to say, oh, that's not mine, and I could leave that. Things affect you on a deeper level, and therefore can become easily overwhelming. And so when you're in those group settings and there's all of this absorption of the world around you, and as I think Alice was alluding to there, if there's self-consciousness around things of like, maybe it's shame, maybe it's like me, maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe someone's going to see this flaw in me or reject me for this, or you come in it with fear and overwhelm at the same time, then being around people is going to be painful.
What is the fear of what people will think of you? What is the worst self-accusation that comes to your mind?
Well, I've dealt with this all my life, and I can honestly say that the Lord has brought me a long way, and it's not so... I used to be paranoid big time before. I mean, I was just like not honest with myself, first of all.
Mm.
But now, it's just like, I guess I feel like I wish I could be as normal as everybody else.
Okay, so Luna, don't move beyond that. Stay right there. I wish that you could let that expectation go. That's what I wish.
How do you do that?
That's tough. But let's start here. Just like everyone else looks pretty angry and depressed and frustrated. Just like everyone. Look at the world around us, all right? So yeah. Sometimes it's cut off and sometimes it's, you know, but God has uniquely, wonderfully made you, formed you in your personality. And our personalities are not something to be rejected, but they are something to be managed.
Yeah.
Right? And so we want to be able to manage that. So it's saying that, like, I'm better one-on-one. I need safe people. Other people that become overwhelming. Yeah, I do wish I could have a greater sense of freedom in group settings. I would wish that for you. But right now, that's not how you're set up. That's not how your experience is. And so that just has to be managed. And I call it picking your spots. You know, picking your spots is, especially for those who are highly sensitive and tend to be more introverted people, what you have to do is like, hey, I'm gonna go into this social setting, and I'm going to put a time limit on it, and I'm going to come out of that social setting.
I want to make another suggestion. I know I have a friend that has similar situation, and this friend asks questions a lot of people.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Instead of thinking I've got to say something brilliant and bold and exciting or new, mm-hmm. they'll just start asking questions.
Yeah.
Tell me about your kids, or tell me why you do this, or what is it about this or that, and that can begin the conversation. Some people will ask questions back, which helps a lot. Others will never ask a question back, but at least you got something started.
Larry, that is so, so good. Because I say this when I'm doing consulting in organizations and businesses. I said the best communicator in any given situation will always be the best listener.
Yeah.
Because they'll have the information. And being a good listener gravitates in a safe way other people towards you.
And who asks the best questions ever?
Jesus, without
that's
a doubt.
Right.
I thought you were going to say Alice.
No, I wasn't. You ask good, but not the best.
Luna, your sensitivity and your reactivity to people is based in something that has happened to you. Who was condescending and unkind to you and called you overly sensitive?
I had a very large family when, you know, as a little girl. I'm number 9 of 10.
Hmm.
So.
And your parents didn't have time for your emotions, did they?
Oh, no. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom had to work all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. My oldest sister was practically my mom, you know, but there was a lot of abuse, sexual, you know, mainly sexual abuse in the house. And you know, stuff like that. And I've kind of dealt with that. You know, well, I have. In the name of Jesus, I have. But let me put this scenario. You know, sometimes I just don't want to be in the conversation. I don't want to, without being looked at weird. You know, without everybody beginning to think you're weird, and maybe that's my own thought, I don't know, but I mean, you know how everybody can be laughing and all, and I want to be on my over here by myself. I don't mind it. Why do others mind it? You know, they'll look at you, or they, you know, you just become the weird person.
Luna,
and,
Luna, you are weird.
Yeah.
You are.
Thanks.
Me too.
We're all weird.
But God has put beautiful talents in you, and the very sensitivity that you call overly sensitive, I'm angry, protectively angry of you that you say it that way, but it comes from other people treating you that way. You are not overly sensitive, girl. You have a heart that is fine-tuned to what's going on within you and what may be going on within other people. But your past is... Your past is still overshadowing your present. So to hear you say, I dealt with that stuff in my family of origin. I'm sure you have. There's more to deal with, though, because I think that you are making assumptions of the people around you that they are going to think about you and treat you the same way that your parents did, the same way that your alcoholic father did. And it is being able to grieve and heal from the past that helps us separate the past from the present. Because God didn't create us to be alone and isolated. He created us to be in community. But when we've been hurt like you have been hurt, community's unsafe. It's scary. It's threatening. And so part of your...
I feel like I put myself in those situations, you know. The emotional part. I put myself there.
Well Luna, and, let me say this.
I don't know how to be any different.
Yes, you're living out... I want you to hear Alice here really well, because you're living out your childhood. Okay?
After all these years.
Yes, that's just what, I'm so sorry to say this, I really am. It's how the pain of our past works, especially, you revealed so much to us. You were 9 of 10, you were surrounded by people, and yet those people were painful. And in the midst of that pain, around people, you were invisible. It only makes sense that you carry around inside of you a big sign that says, I don't matter. That's painful. Okay, so in that, when that sign becomes the pair of glasses that you wear to see yourself in relationship to other people in the world around you, and no wonder why you don't want to be around people, because you don't want to be reminded that you don't matter. And if they're laughing and you're in pain, that's going to be frustrating.
So you need to learn in the safety of a structured relationship how to be with people and accept your sensitivity, how to be seen and loved in the sensitive heart that you are and that you have. And that may only be a therapist right now. Sometimes we have to go into that level of relationship to then be able to be in healthy relationship with other people who are not professional counselors. Please stay on the line so that we can connect you with a therapist who can walk you through this and who can help you to see how to heal even more from your family of origin.
And what book would you want to send to Luna?
I think the if we can send Emotional Freedom workbook. Yeah.
Okay. Coming your way, Luna. Thank you for your call. And if you're feeling like Luna, consider giving us a call as well. Call our call center and say, I just heard Luna on the radio, and I want to talk about that Emotional Freedom workbook. We talked recently about our Fearless Parenting workshop that's coming up October the 2nd, and it's a one-day online workshop for parenting. It's called preparing for the teen years, and I want you to think about the weekend is coming up. And this weekend, most of you know other parents, and most of you are probably wondering if you need to come to that workshop. But talk about it with other people. Let other people know we've got this workshop that can help a lot of people. This workshop can help you get through things. Alice, you're going to be talking with Steve, the two of you, about the book that you wrote on the screen time.
That's right. Understanding and loving your children in a screen-saturated world, because all of us are dealing with that and few of us know how to deal with it well. And if our children aren't somewhat disgruntled with how we're parenting them and their screens, we're missing something. But if they're not having any fun with us and their screens, we're also missing something. And we'll teach you how to manage those two areas.
And then that's one topic of many. We're going to talk about the super-saturated sex world. We're going to talk about the... growing up with the proper values, Christian values, how to get those instilled into your kids. We're going to help you relieve anxiety as well as a parent. So call us, ask about this parenting workshop, and you'll be glad that you did. And if you want to join Club New Life, we've got wonderful gifts for you. We have wonderful videos for you, monthly giving, and it will make you feel like you're a part of something. We all want to feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And what's better than joining Club New Life, being part of something bigger that's going to help more people than you've ever thought you could help before. So give us a call, ask about Club New Life, ask about what it takes, how to do it, how to get those videos, and we'll be happy to get you signed up. Robbie Riggs will be jumping for joy and doing cartwheels in our office if you sign up. And we'll video that.
So you might want to get Robbie's permission first.
No, we don't have permission. We're just
forgiveness jump. Rather than permission, right? Yes.
So we'll be right back after this and start taking some of these calls.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got a Canadian friend on the line from Ontario, Canada. He listens on Sirius XM. His name is Paul. Paul, how can we help you today?
Hey, Paul. Not Paul. I'm Paul. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
It's actually my birthday today.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's a little bit different. I'm 55 years old today, and I actually woke up this morning with a lot of dread. I've been married 24 years. I've got two great kids. I've got four kids, two marriages. I'm just not, my life is not where I want it to be. I've wanted it to be. In my mind, I have continued to sacrifice for my family, always putting everybody else first. I've asked the question of my wife on many occasions, when does this become about me? I'm not suicidal. That's not the extent that I'm going to. It's just I'm absolutely very, very tired of the way that that my life is going. I'm 10 years away from quote unquote retirement. We just actually remortgaged our house, took on another $116,000 worth of debt to get out of other debt, and it just seems like it's just piling on and piling on and piling on. And I'm sitting here in my truck right now, staring at a green forest in the middle of the city that I live in, and I'm just like I'm tired. I'm just done with it. I feel like I'm trapped.
And Paul, what's the
divorce is not an option for
Paul,
me.
What I'm hearing you, man. My practice is full of guys just like you. I want to be able to help you today. What's the question for us?
The question is, how do I see through all this? How can I get on the other side of this and be content with where I am at so that I can actually move forward?
Yeah. So I take a deep breath because thank you, first and foremost, for calling in. Because, Paul, you are representing the voice of so many different people, especially men out there. And who've worked and worked and worked and worked.
We live in.
Yeah, absolutely. You worked and worked to provide the life that you thought would work for you and everyone else. And you wake up one day and it's not realized. In fact, there's a painful gap between what you dreamed of and where you're at. And then there's this painful question. All for what? What is this all for? Because if it's for this, what's sitting in front of me, the life sitting in front of me, then it really hasn't been all worth it. And underneath all of that, in trying to take care of other people, in trying to provide the life, in sort of sometimes acquiescing to other people's decisions about what they want, I have lost myself in the process. And I wake up one day and I'm like, where have I gone? And so I think that this is what we call a terrifying grace. You're in the midst of an incredibly graceful moment, a wake-up call. Happy 55th birthday, man. Welcome. And what I want to welcome you to is to the rediscovery of you. What does Paul want? Not from a pure selfish, and we're not driven by selfish ambition, but we are driven by taking care of ourselves well. You know, my 40th birthday was one of these things. So there is this realization that life is never going to be heaven on earth, right? It's never going to be exactly what I want here. So I'm going to have to deal with disappointment, discouragement, and at times even despair, but I want to bring that back up to a hope that what is unrealized here is going to be realized when I'm with the Lord in eternity. The other aspect of that is, are there things I can do? My life is telling me right now it doesn't work. So my life then, is there things that I can do for me so that I can continue to show up well for myself, for other people, and obviously for the will of God? So let me just give you one thing for in my own. My 40th birthday was one of these things. I actually ruptured my Achilles 3 weeks before my 40th birthday and canceled my big golf trip that I had planned for that. But the successions of events, and I just thought, you know, I'm working all this. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. It's not what I want. I'm not living my best life now. And maybe that's not the goal, but I always dreamed of fly fishing and never went. And so I prayed about it, and with some friends in my life that took me out, and I went out fly fishing, and I got part of me back.
You're hooked now.
I'm hooked. Hook, line, and sinker. Yep. Hook, line, and fly right now. So, and though I still don't get to do it as often as I would like to, what I'm doing is finding and discovering things that work for me, that breathe life back into me, where I can connect with God and connect with myself so that I can show up well to the others. And guess what? Other people are going to have to deal with me not being there for them during those times. And I'm going to trust that God's going to take care of that.
Paul, you've been waiting for other people to set boundaries for you in your life because you're depleted and the people around you are depleting you. But it will be you that becomes the steward of your limited resources and energy and time. And it will be you who pursues your self-care rather than waiting for other people to do that for you. And we'll tell you how to do that when we come back.
So, Paul, hold on. I'm not going to say a lot because you guys are the experts, but I've got a lot of thoughts. We'll talk at the break. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And we're talking to Paul. Paul is depleted. He's overwhelmed. And he wishes things were not always him helping others and doing for others. And one thought I'll give you, then I'll hand it back to these two brilliant people. Self-care is not a sin, Paul. And you need some self-care. And Chris was just reminding me, how often in the Bible did Jesus leave the others and go away for time alone and to help himself and to think about things? And so you're going to need to, it's up to you. Boundaries was a great word, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great word because you're going to have to set boundaries.
And we learned, Paul, that boundaries are not selfish. Although it's hard for us to say no and not now, and I got to take a nap right now, I got to go fly fishing, because it sounds selfish. But when our purpose is to refresh and renew so that we can come back and be cheerful givers, if we find that we are no longer giving cheerfully as God wants us to, our giving is sick and it becomes resentful. Mm-hmm. And it means we're overextending ourselves. Setting boundaries will be disruptive to you, to your wife, but it is the only way that we can continue to be givers.
And it's a good disruption because it disrupts what's not working, mm-hmm. right? And so, and the, one last thing I want to say about this is that, Paul, I think what is really important in this is that the disappointment is real, but it requires a grieving. We grieve the life that we wanted to live and didn't live. But there's still life in us. So once we grieve, as we're grieving, we get in the business of creating. And good creativity deals with what's in front of us. It deals with reality. What does my life look like right now? What are the truths? And then what do I do with that to keep improving it and making it better and making it work better, obviously for yourself, but most importantly, or as importantly, for the people around you?
And folks, if any of you experience like Paul has been, thoughts of, I don't really want to be here anymore, I would be just fine dying, those are morbid thoughts, and we have to take them seriously, mm-hmm. because if they go untreated, they very often become suicidal thoughts. Your soul is sick. That's what that means, and it needs good care to get better.
So, Paul, we're going to send you Dave Stoop's book, Living Strong, Finishing Well. And it's going to make a difference. You've tried to live strong, but you need a little help, and I know that this book can help you finish well. So thanks for calling us today. Let's go to Lisa. Lisa is on line 5 in New York, New York, on Sirius XM. She listens. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How can we help you today?
I have a question. I have a friend. We've been friends for a long time. We go to the same church together, and it always seems like it's a competition, like, you know, she feels like she has, you know, she's better than me, and I get that feeling, and I always find that whenever there's someone new that comes to a church, they, you know, first they gravitate to me, and then she speaks to them, and they no longer, you know, they look at me kind of twisted. So I'm like, you know, I'm really tired of that. We've been friends since high school. And I just want to know how to handle that situation.
Have you talked to her about it?
Yeah, she, you know, I've talked to her. I said, you know, I'm getting this. And she was like, oh, no, that's just your imagination. You always, you know, you always think that way. I'm like, okay.
Can I explore that for a little bit?
Sure.
So oftentimes there's this, what happens with envy is it comes from a place of scarcity, meaning that there's only a limited amount. So when we get into those competitions, as it happens oftentimes growing up, it's like, oh, if this person is friends with that person, then they can't be friends with me. There's only a limited amount of friendship that can happen, or relationship or connection. Oftentimes that comes from our experiences in our homes growing up, where we had disconnected just parents that were, for lack of a better word, out to lunch, that weren't paying attention, that weren't deeply involved in our lives. And so then we learn that people's attention and people's connection to us is in very, very limited supply, and it's sum zero. And what that means, that if Larry is close with Steve, then my closeness is limited. And so, therefore, I want to be close to Steve. Now I don't like Steve or Larry because Larry is taking away Steve from me. And so we laugh about that because we know this is. But the point of that is that what we want to be able to then move into is more of an abundant mindset. There's enough relationship. There's enough love to go around. And part of that is that the relationship that I generate is also regenerated in other people.
Okay.
Lisa, I'm curious why this woman has been your friend for so long. She doesn't sound like a very good friend.
Well, you know, a lot of people tell me that, but we've been friends for so long, and at one time we were disconnected, and then we came back, you know, I left the Lord, and I came back, and I'm always a person that gives and does. And it seems to be like
she's familiar.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what, you know, like, it's very familiar, and it's like, it's never her, it's always me. And I'm like, wait a minute.
But
and
what,
I guess that's why I said,
yeah,
we're friends, but we're sisters in the Lord. That's
sure, but your sister in the Lord, this is what Alice is getting at. Your sister in the Lord has shown you exactly who she is over the course of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't, there's no need to expect that she's going to show up differently.
And so what the Lord tells us to do about that, in Matthew 18, mm-hmm. he says, if someone continues to sin against us, we bring it to their attention like you did. And then if they're not interested in changing, and they say, no, it's you, it's your problem, then we back away from them to protect our heart from being re-injured in the same way that they intend to continue operating.
And I also I like that approach, because part of that then says, you're right, it is my problem, and here's what I'm going to do about it.
I have a lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord that I don't associate with all the time. I don't choose to call them close friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to still be a brother or sister in the Lord without being best friends.
Why did you look at me when you said that so intently?
I was hoping you would get
that. There's a message there for me, yeah. Lisa.
We have a critical conversation.
Lisa, what would it be like to pull away from this woman as she continues, if she continues to be uninterested in looking at herself?
Well, you know what it is? We're both in leadership roles. And that's the thing. We're on equivalent leadership roles in the church, so that's where.
So what would it be like to pull away from the level of friendship you have with her now to protect your heart? Would it be scary? Would you worry about the repercussions?
Well, you know what? It's not that I'm scared, because I do have a lot of friends, but the thing is that then someone will always bring up, well, you know, if you have something against your brother, you need to leave your...
You already did, Lisa. Lisa.
Reconcile.
But what you're telling us is true, you've already done that.
Yeah, I have.
And you can't control her side of the reconciliation. We're to make peace as much as it's within our control to do so. And when the other person is not interested in fixing the situation, fixing their side of it, then we back away to protect our hearts.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And it seems that they project that I'm the one with the problem, not them, to other people.
Now, you do have to check on that, because you're imperfect. So you may play a part in the problem that you're describing. It might not be all her fault. So take a deep look at yourself. Mm-hmm. Ask God to reveal your sins and your hidden faults, because we all have them. Do your part. Do your work. But then if she's not interested in changing, you know who she is and who she's going to keep being to you.
It doesn't mean you have to totally disconnect with her. You can still go to the same church. You can still go out for a cup of coffee sometime. But you don't need to have it at the level where...
It just carries less weight.
We're
putting less weight into this relationship. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What can we say?
Thank you. I mean, you know, I had a dream about it, and then in my dream, I really cried like I was mourning someone.
Mm.
And then...
Yeah, then some grief will come with that separation.
You know what I think would be helpful here, as I do think Dave Stoop's book on forgiveness.
Okay.
You know.
Forgiving the unforgettable.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this reminds me really...
Unforgettable. Great title.
Yeah. It reminds me very, to say it very quickly, is that when we start identifying and recognizing and owning our weaknesses, our liabilities, our sin patterns, and from a place of acceptance, it actually builds confidence. You know? It's like, okay, I have these limitations, and here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm working on.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the call, Lisa. And I just want to thank the Club New Life members for the support that you give to New Life. And if you give a little more, we'll see Robbie do a few more cartwheels. So thank you so much.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And we're going to go and speak with Dee in Fresno, California, who listens on the internet. Hello, Dee. How can we help you today?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question that's been kind of vexing me for the last few months. I work as a medical healthcare worker. I've done it my whole life. With COVID, I've had to social distance from my family and my friends and the church for about 19 months.
Oh,
and I'm having a really hard time trying to figure out how to get back into life again. And my parents are 80 and 85. I haven't been inside their house since February of 2020.
Man.
Had massive anxiety, you know. Thank God, you know, the Lord has shielded me and a lot of, not all my coworkers, actually. The majority of my coworkers have all tested positive for COVID. They've all recovered at different times. But I have lost many patients, and we also lost, I lost an aunt, a cousin, and my ex-husband in December. He died of COVID 2 days before his 50th birthday.
Wow.
So I have a lot of, I guess I've been kind of traumatized by everything, and I can't seem to get back to not to even be around my parents. Thank God, you know, we're all vaccinated, including myself, but to this very day, you know, with this new surge that we're having, we're pretty much exposed every day as healthcare workers. So I feel conflicted. I'm part of a big church. Well, I was part of a big church. Right now, they're not, you know, since the mask mandates and everything were lifted here in California, there's not a lot of masking or social distancing. So I have a lot of anxiety about going to church. I just don't know where to begin right now.
And so in the separation from your family and the people in your life, is it mainly your choice so that you don't carry things to them nor to your patients? Is it protective of all these people that you're staying away?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly why I've been doing it. And it's been really hard because my parents are so up there in years now. And I've lost, you know, a year and a half of birthdays, Christmas, everything. I've done it on my own just to keep them safe. And thank God it has worked. Many times around the holidays, a lot of coworkers have tested positive. The doctors I worked with tested positive. We're out for a few weeks. And it was right around that time that I had made the decision that I was going to go through this on my own, so that I didn't expose anybody.
Well,
Dee, not even going to church.
Well, Dee, first and foremost, thank you for making such great sacrifices to care for people through this pandemic.
You're a hero, girl.
Without a doubt.
Thank you.
Okay, and we honor you for that. We applaud you for that. We cheer you on for that. There are deep consequences to your work. There's occupational hazards during this time that are not obvious, but they're real.
Yeah.
Isolation is horrible for our mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual health. There's not a part of our lives that isn't affected, and any vulnerabilities that we had before isolation are only going to be accentuated or exacerbated by isolation. So if I struggle with depression before being alone, watch what happens when I'm alone for too long a period of time. And so so I just want to give credence to what you're experiencing, a validation that what you're experiencing is real, it's hard, it's painful, there is suffering here. And in that, obviously, with working in the field, being exposed to what you're on a daily basis, as well as all the information out there, confusion is also running rampant. Like, what do we do? What is right? What's not right? You're making all these decisions based on, again, care for other people. We, again, applaud you. But what does it mean for you to be cared for? Dee, what do you need right now?
I just feel like I really miss being around, you know, my lady friends at church, just among the people of the church. I was in recovery classes for a long time before all of that happened. Just had some very nice relationships with everyone. And, of course, being around my family, although it's a very small family, you know, but, you know, having been apart physically from them has been really hard. I think it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done, you know.
Yeah.
Did communication with many of these people almost entirely end? Or have you found middle ground ways of being with them, even at a distance?
I have not found those middle grounds. I think a lot due to my anxiety. And to be honest, all of this has been my decision to social distance from everybody. But there have been a few friends that have, you know, not felt comfortable around me, which I understand completely, you know. So that's, it's been a little bit of that, you know, and I'm very, you know, I don't like to be rejected. So, when that happened, I felt more, you know.
Yeah. D, what help are you getting for your anxiety and your grief?
Not much. I saw one of my physicians here.
So, girl, your anxiety is in charge of your life, even more so than the very real dangers of COVID. Anxiety is driving your life. And in your anxiety, I believe you have distanced yourself too much from people when there are safe avenues through which to connect. But you can't see those avenues in your anxiety. So I think that the first step in clearing some of the anxiety is getting the professional help for yourself. And that will probably be on two levels, both individual therapy, which can be done by Zoom, which can be done by phone. I meet with all my patients remotely. But you probably also need some medical assistance for your anxiety, an antidepressant that would treat your anxiety. And we can help connect you with the therapist that's willing to meet by those routes. Yes. With a therapist, you can strategize how to reconnect with people in a way that's physically safe for both you and for them.
One of the things, we have a small group that we're a part of, and one of the things we did when COVID was hitting pretty hard here last year is we met in a park and we distanced, and we sat in a circle. There were four or five couples sat in a circle. I mean, it was safe. It was outside distance, and we kept our group going that way. And it was bonding. It was saying that we're not going to let the fear of this thing stop us from being unified in Christ and being with one another, sharing our lives.
You know, I was also really, really nervous and worried and resistant when therapy had to then be done online. And so what I've been shocked with is how well it's worked through Zoom. Yeah. And so even doing EMDR via Zoom, you know, has worked really, really well and efficiently. And so what we need to do is in our struggles is now get creative and find those outlets.
Yeah. What book would you think would be very helpful?
Take Your Life Back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We're going to help you take your life back. I want to close with a scripture, not specific to what you're dealing with, Dee, but just for our audience overall, it's out of Ephesians. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And that's what Satan's trying to mix up right now, and he's doing a really good job of it. But your advice about her anxiety was just right on point. Thank you for that. We are deeply appreciative that you listen to New Life Live. We hope you'll keep listening. We hope you might send some money our way to help us do what we do. And thank you for listening. We'll be back another day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app.
Visit newlife.com to download the app today.